You know, sometimes the road gets rough, it gets tiring. Sometimes you don't feel like you want to quite go on. But farther on, it sure will be better. Farther on, we'll see the yield of the seeds that we planted. You might not see none of them now. But how many times have you done something for the Lord or lived a life for the Lord and lived some time for the Lord and told somebody about Jesus, didn't seem like they got anything, but you planted that seed and some on time down the road, they remember you as the one that's planting that seed. Just because you showed your life as Christly. Just because you displayed Christ in your life. And I tell you, it's a blessing to know that Jesus would use somebody like me to save somebody to come into His kingdom. I can't save them. But Proverbs tells us that wise is the man that wins souls, and wise is the man that does it. And I tell you, that's what we need to get into. The year's crossed over. We're in 2021 now. And it's time to get on the train to start sowing these seeds. I mean, really. I mean, it's really time to get on there. Because there's a lot of people dying and going to hell today. And we're the only one that can stop that. We're the only one that can, and we'll never stop it. But God said He doesn't wish that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Is that right? That's what the Word tells me. And if all come to repentance, we'd have a good life. We'd have a good world. We'd live in a good nation. Let me tell you something. I believe there's this percentage that's less, that I believe it's less than 40% that's going to be saved. I believe it's less than 40% that's going to be saved. But I can tell you this. The more you do, the more you'll get blessed. Yeah. The more you do for God, the more He's going to do for you.
Amen.
And I promise you, if you just go out and try to win souls and tell people, why do you think we started this missionary thing? You know, the biggest thing about it is, another thought, I was praying on it and thinking on it last night, is that, you know, with these kids and this missionary program thing that we could get them into here in the Sunday school classes, every single time that they go up to somebody and tell them about Blacklands Baptist Church, let's just use that for a thing, because what if one of the classrooms want to support Brother Curtis at Blacklands Baptist Church and trying to get that stuff started down there? Well, let's use that. Every time they go ask for money about Blacklands Baptist Church, they have the opportunity to share the gospel to those people. But they got to learn to share the gospel. They got to learn to do it. But they got to learn from us.
Yes, amen.
If you turn in your Bibles this morning, we'll be in the book of Psalms, chapter 126. Psalms chapter 126, put your finger there in Psalms chapter 126. And then turn over to the book of John. And we'll read our text verse there as well as the other two verses in Psalms 126. John chapter 4, we'll read one verse there. And then we'll turn back and read in Psalms 126. Whenever you found your spot, you could stand in reverence to the Word of God. It's a blessing to be in the house of God this morning. You know, I've been praying ever since God had put us in the hospital there. I've been praying about the fact, God, am I going to get back to church and preach this Sunday? Now, I know y'all might say I should have stayed home, whatever. But no, listen, I was praying about it, and I was asking God, saying, Lord, Would you lay somebody on my heart to fill the pulpit on Sunday if I ain't gonna make it? And He never laid nobody on my heart, but He did lay a message on my heart. And He laid the message on my heart, and I want to try to get it out to you this morning. John chapter 4 and verse 35. We'll read that one verse there. Then we'll turn back to Psalms 126. The Bible says in John 4 and 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." That's something right there. Psalms 126, verse 5, the Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You, God, for Your many blessings. I pray You'd help us this morning. You'd get magnified in this place, Lord. You'd edify the church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tell you, the context of this psalm right here, the context of this psalm is talking about a farmer, okay? It's speaking of a farmer, and a farmer may weep during the pain of his labor as he's going through the laboring pains. I'm not talking about pregnancy or anything like that. As he's going through the laboring pains and he's dealing with the pains that it comes with laboring, as you're out there in the burning heat. Trust me, I was a farmer all year long. I know how it is. It gets hot out there. It gets rainy out there. It gets wet. It gets muddy. It gets all of that stuff out there. And sometimes you just don't want to do it. But what I tell you, he may weep. He may weep when the labor comes, right? Labor comes. When you're laboring on something, maybe at your house, you're laboring on it and you got to do a new roof, or you got to do this, or you got to do that at your house, and you want to do it alone, or you want to do it with some help by some friends or something like that. And you're laboring on that. You're like, my goodness, I hate this. I don't want to do this stuff. I don't like doing this stuff. But when it gets done, you'll realize your kids have a dry roof. They have a dry house. Things are okay now. And here, this farmer in this text, he may weep due to the laboring of the harvest. Of the harvest and how he has to put in all of that time. But after the ground, the same ground that had been labored in, after that ground has been tilled and the seed was planted and the harvest was brought in, the same farmer comes out rejoicing, the Bible says, right? At the bountiful harvest. Rejoicing. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, I tell you, is that as we realize this, we as children are of the Lord, are farmers of the field of this world. We're farmers for it. Now, friends, let me tell you, at Mountain Valley Baptist Church, I'd like to make this a year of being farmers for Christ. Being farmers for Christ. That I think, you know, even much the more than we ever did in 2020. You say, we've seen 26 souls get born again here. That's not enough. It's not enough. We can always do more when it comes to God, but we have to do the work. We have to put in the labor. We have to plant the seed. God will have the increase, friend. God will use the increase and grow that little bitty seed, and a sprout will pop up from it. And then eventually you'll have fruit from it. When you get fruit from that little bitty seed. You know, seeds start off small. They start off real small. You know, the Bible tells us that by the faith of a grain of mustard seed, of a mustard seed, okay? You know, the mustard seed is the smallest seed out there. The Bible says that if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, then you can say unto this mountain, move from hence, and it shall be moved. Just a little bitty seed. You know, if we plant a little bitty seed, if we plant a Jesus, the word name of Jesus, into somebody's little mind and make them think about what Jesus actually is, maybe one day when they're laying in bed one time at night, they have nothing else to think about besides what you told them that night. God, the Holy Spirit, did drill down deep into their heart, into the strings of their heart. He digs down deep in there and he brings to remembrance something that you had said some years ago. Maybe they're the lowest point of their life and you're talking to them right now. And you're telling them about somebody who loves them still. They have nobody else who loves them. They have nobody else who cares for them, but you're telling them that you love them. You're telling them that there's a man named Jesus who loved them so much that he sent his only son to die for them. That may be something that keeps them alive. You know, people, the suicidal rate in 2020 went up like some 15% from 2019. Let me tell you something. Suicide is a real thing. It is a mind thing. But it is a real thing. People want to commit it on a daily. People do commit it on a daily. And I tell you something, is that if we would get less of ourselves and more of Jesus, we would not have that rate like today. But the problem is that people are not telling a whole lot about Jesus, but they're getting overwhelmed by the ways of the world. They're not hearing much Jesus, but if we plant that little bitty seed, what if one day when they're thinking about suicide, that little bitty seed comes back to their mind? God, the Holy Spirit, I tell you something, when the Holy Spirit deals with somebody, He'll bring them up right at the right time. He'll bring what you told them up right at the right time. Promise you. That's how God works. God loves the little children, the Bible says. God loves people. God loves sinners. God loves people in hard spots. And you know, I tell you, is that the thing about it is that if we would simply realize that our little seed could be something big up there, we'd be in a good place. You know, we'd be in a real good place one day. And I tell you, is that if we would just come to conclusion about the fact that we need to spread this seed. Hey, listen, don't worry about what's going on up here, okay? I've seen all of y'all's eyes follow her. That shouldn't happen, okay? All right? We're preaching now. All right? Don't worry about what's going on right here. But I tell you this morning is that if we would simply realize that the seed of our lives, it reflects the lives of these children, reflects the lives of everybody else that we come in contact with, a sinner could be saved off of our little bitty seed. God, help us be a seed planter. God, help us be somebody in 2020. But I tell you is that even we could probably admit that our witness is lacking. Us as witnesses are lacking. Me, all of us, every single one of us in this place could probably admit tonight, this morning, that our witness is lacking at some point. Our witness is lacking. That's what these verses are for, though. The Lord addresses some of these things that we lack and offers a promise for those who go forth in His name. He offers that promise there, but I tell you is that as we go through this thought this morning of just sowing seeds, that's what I titled it this morning, just sowing seeds, let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. Allow Him to speak to your heart this morning. Could you do that? Allow Him to speak to your heart this morning and help you in this very vital area of your life, of your Christian walk, a very vital area of our service. You know that everybody's called to serve. Nobody's called to just sit. Everybody is called to serve. God can continue saving here in 2021, but we have to do our part. We have to do our part for this church to grow. Listen, I know this church is on a growing process, and I praise the Lord for it. To God be the glory for every single bit of it. But it took you. It took you of doing that, but it took our parts, is what I'm trying to get to you this morning. But number one, we'll see that there is a purpose to acknowledge this morning. There's a purpose to acknowledge. The purpose is this. God expects His people to be actively engaged in the activity of sharing the gospel. I mean, continually engaged in sharing the gospel to the lost and dying world. What's the purpose of this acknowledgement? What's the purpose of this? Why should we even do this kind of stuff? Well, we see verse 6 at the beginning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Then at the beginning of 6 it says, He. What's acknowledgement? Well, it's a personal. It's a personal thing. The Bible says He. Right? The Bible says He. Notice the word He there. It has no indication who that the psalmist here is talking to. There's no indication of who he's talking to specifically, but it's to every specific individual that's ever been born again. That's ever walked the face of the earth. But I tell you, is that it's ever specific individual. Where did people get the idea that witnessing is the job of the pastor, the deacons, the missionary, the evangelist? Where did people get that idea? Because you know, people expect me to worship a whole lot more. I mean, to witness a whole lot more and to worship a whole lot more than anybody else. People expect me to do that kind of stuff. People expect the evangelists to tell people about Christ more than they expect themselves to. I cannot tell you in the year of 2020 the times that I heard, well, it's your job. Or you should be different. Why? Why should I be different? What makes me different than you? What makes me different when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ than you? The only thing different is I'm going to have to stand for you as well. I'm still going to be judged for myself. I'm still going to get crowns. I'm still going to get crowns taken away. I'm still going to have woods, hay, and stubble. I'm still going to do every single bit of that I just mentioned. And I got to stand in front of God for you too. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, to make it easier. Make it easier on those who are above you. And listen, the whole thing I'm making here is it's a personal statement from God, from the Almighty. God breathed Scripture, right? God inspired Scripture. And as God done that, He put in here, He gave the psalmist this word. He that goeth forth. He that goeth forth and weep and bear precious seed. And it tells us that right there. You know, the Bible tells us that every saved person is to share the gospel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Mark chapter 16 verse 15, Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 through 20. You'll read those things that simply tells you that we have a great commission. We have a great commission. The task is large to fall upon just those few. It's way too large of a task to just fall on the thousands of preachers that's in this world when we have millions of people. Right? The task is too large. Share Jesus everywhere. That's what we should be doing. Tracts, your personal thing, whatever you have to do to share Jesus to somebody. Every person in the hospital this week knew that I was a pastor. And all of them asked me if I was a pastor. Right? What did it give us the opportunity to do? Share the gospel. Tell them about what we do down here. Invite them. Do all that kind of stuff. Then finally we talked to our last nurse up there. And her dad was an independent Baptist pastor. She sat down with us and talked about Jesus and talked about church and talked about the Bible and talked about all that kind of stuff for 30 minutes before we left. That's what it's all about. You witness to people who lost, and then God sends you that one blossom out of them. You see? God sends you that one blossom, that one that's already grown, that one that comes in there and encourages you to keep on going. Thank God for what He's doing. Thank God for what He's doing. It's a personal thing. Then we see in verse 6 at the beginning, he that goeth forth, the Bible says, goeth forth. So it's a present tense. Right? It's present tense, you know, goeth forth, the verb tense of this word here points to a continual ministry of bearing the precious seed. The precious seed, it tells us that to the lost world is where we're supposed to bear this precious seed. Now to the lost world, this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ will always be needed in the world. Not one time will this gospel not be needed. Nor has it never been needed. It's always going to be needed. And the whole idea is to be making disciples as we go. Right? As we pass by somebody, we're supposed to make disciples. The Bible, Mackenzie's back of Mackenzie's car, she got this little sticker back there, this little decal, and it says, Raising Tiny Disciples. Is that right? Huh? Raising a tiny disciple. And if we're raising a tiny disciple, that means Elisha, when he grows up, he could be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But if we raise him right, if he sees daddy doing it, if he sees mama doing it, if he does that type of thing, when he does that, but what about these other kids? They're watching me. They're watching you. Well, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because I promise you, those little eyes will tell on daddy and mama all day long. They'll tell on the person that's at home at church. They'll tell on you. Because little eyes see a lot. Little ears hear a lot. Little mouths say a lot. But out of the mouth of babes come wisdom. The Bible says. We just got to listen to it. I tell you, it's present tense. It's a goeth forth thing. Friend, your testimony is not a light switch. It's not a light switch. It's not something you can turn off and then turn back on. It's not something you turn off when you're around these certain friends of yours. You might say amen right there, because I know y'all, we've all been there. You're around these certain friends, well, now you're not a Christian anymore. You're going to turn that off. Now I can cuss, now I can do this, now I can do that, now I can do this. Y'all know I'm right. It's true. There's too many people who come to the house of God that are like that. Just like that. Listen, I know we're imperfect sinners, and that's all we'll ever be, sinners saved by grace. But listen, your testimony matters to you and to everybody else and to God. It matters. Keep that testimony. It's not a light switch. We should be on a mission at all times. We must live it and we must speak of it. That's how we should live. That's how we should do it. It's personal. It's present. Then we see it's precious. The Bible says, and weepeth bearing precious seed. Now, this word precious, the message we have been given to carry is a very precious message. But you know, this word precious, this word here precious, it has a different meaning than how Peter expressed the word precious in 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Peter used precious a lot. We know that. But this word precious means something completely different. It's only used one time in the King James Bible. And I want you to know that this word right here, it means a drawing up. A drawing up a trail, fishing up, securing, acquiring a trail of seed. Y'all with me this morning? As we travel bearing this precious seed, we should leave a trail behind. Now, what's that old story? That old story we used to read as kids, that one. What was it, bread that they left behind? What, there's a movie too. Hansel and Gretel. Is that right? They left that bread trail and that's how they found her. Is that right? Something along those terms. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But you know, if you carry and bear this precious seed of the gospel and you leave a trail along the way as you're going, that means that this. That means I'm coming through here and I pass people every day. I'm going to tell him about Jesus. That's a little seed that I've just planted. Him, her, him, her, and I go on my way. I'm leaving that precious trail behind me. That trail that I have come through there, I've dropped the seeds off, and continually you'll see an increase of that happening. That's what that word precious is talking about. It's something about it. That's why I love little words. That's why I study little words. Because the whole thing about it is that it tells the world, this is what it tells the world. It tells the world simply, we fished here, we've secured the area, and we've acquired what God has wanted us to acquire here. We're going to keep on going our way. We're going to keep on going our way. You know, there's something about that. When we look at this kind of stuff, glory to God, I like that kind of stuff. We've acquired the soul that God wants us to acquire here. Our mission's done. Will your mission be done till you walk in the kingdom of heaven? No. Your job will never be done. It will never be finished until you walk through those doors. Till you walk through those gates. We've been given gifts to minister to all people. When you got born again, you got a gift. You know that? You got gifts to minister to all kinds of people. And you got to understand that these gifts are something that's given by God. It's given by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What do we have a gift of? We have a gift of the gospel. The glorious gospel. It's a story like no other. You hear it one time, if it got old, you need to go back again. You need to go back again. It's precious. It's precious to me. I don't know if it's precious to you at all, but it's precious to me. It's a precious, precious word from above, like water to a cold and thirsty soul, as the Bible talks about in Proverbs. And I tell you that it's something that we have and can lean up on this word. That's another gift we're given. The word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. You know, this Word is precious. It tells us everything we need to know. We take it lightly. We overlook it. It's underused. And that's why everything else is overused. It's underused, so cell phones are a whole lot overused. Hey, we're preaching to the choir now. I'll preach on everything under the sun if it's a sin and it's against God. Even if it comes to me. Because it's right down my pathway too, son. It's right down what I have to go through too. It's right down with what I have to deal with too on my phone. I spend a whole lot more time on my phone than I do reading the Word of God. You say, preacher, you shouldn't be like this. Listen, I'm an honest pastor. If a lot more pastors would be honest like that, we'd be in a good place. But I tell you, is that if we would spend more time in that Word, we would not need Facebook. We would not need Instagram. We would not need any of this kind of stuff. Why? Because that has all the answers to it all. The world wouldn't be half the way it is if we didn't have the media. Amen. Wouldn't be half the way it is. Kids would not be the way they are if we didn't have media. It's just how things work. We have a gift, and it's the Word of God. And from the Word of God comes the gospel, which is also a gift. Well, what else do we have? We have a gift of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Mark, in chapter 13, in verse 11, the Bible says this here. The Bible says, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. If I come up here and I preach to you on my own heart, I mean on my own being, I'm not doing what the Holy Ghost does. You know, there's a lot of things I could call out. There's a lot of things I could say. But it would be all my flesh. And I've done that one time since I've been pastored. One time. And I'll never do it again. Because it grieved the Spirit of God so much. And it was all my fault. Long time ago. But let me tell you something. If we would realize that all of this stuff that we have, if the Holy Spirit says to do something, if we would do it, I'm talking about missions, I'm talking about giving, I'm talking about doing, I'm talking about working, I'm talking about quitting things, I'm talking about doing this and that, we would be in a good place. We'd be in a really good place. Many times, I tell you, is that many times in my life specifically, I'll be talking to somebody, witnessing to somebody, and he gives me words to say. He gives me words to say. He gives me Bible verses to quote. Friends, every single situation that you come to, I know a lot of you people have asked me about this and about this and about angels and about so on and so on and so on. Listen, let me tell you something. Do you think those Bible verses just come to my mind because I'm smart? No. Because I am dumb a lot of times. I'm telling you, my mind just don't, I can't remember. But that's the biggest excuse for a child of God today. I have a problem remembering Bible verses. Read more and you'll remember more. Everybody agree with that? Amen. Listen, it's hard, but the Holy Spirit comes up inside of you and says, hey, I got a verse for that. And He'll bring it to your remembrance. You might not be able to quote it, but you can find it where it is in the Bible. The more you read, the more you'll remember. I promise you it's true. I promise you it's true. You say, I don't like reading. Well, it's a good thing Jesus didn't. You know, Jesus didn't like going up that cross, going up that hill either, right? But He did it anyways. There's too many people who don't like reading, who would rather do this and who would rather do that and don't like reading the Scriptures. Listen, not liking reading is an excuse from God. Is it right? It's not an excuse from God. It's an excuse from yourself. It's your excuse. It's your fleshly desires. It's what you would desire to do. It's not anything God has anything to do with. Because if God knew that, God knows that everybody don't, that people don't like reading. Listen, I don't like reading that much either. You know that, right? But you know what? I do it. Why? Because I love it when I get into the Word. I like reading this book. I like reading other books. If that has something to do with the Word, I like something. It just takes time. It takes time to get used to this reading thing. This reading phase. If you'll force yourself to do it, your flesh is weak. You know that? Your flesh is weak. And when you do it over top of the flesh, you get the victory, not Satan. But when you allow your flesh to overwhelm and overdo your spirit, Satan wins every time. If God says to read the Word of God and lay something on your heart to read, and you do not open your Scriptures and read it, you have just given Satan a victory. Yeah, you should. We should feel bad about that. Because we've all been there. Some may be there every day. Just keep giving him victories. Keep giving him victories. He's laughing in your face. You say, preacher, this is hard preaching this morning. This is Bible preaching this morning. I'm preaching slow and I'm preaching what God has laid on my heart this morning. We're in a new year. We need to make a new selves. New people. We need to revive ourselves. Not just for shouting. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about studying, reading, doing the things of God. I know we got some good readers in here. Some people who read every single day, all day long, every single time they get to do it. But listen, let me tell you something. That's what it's all about when it comes to God and His people. God desires. You know, if you ever want, you say, God has not given me an answer for something. That's because you ain't opened the book of answers. You haven't even opened it up in years since you've been in the house of God. When's the last time you opened your Bible at home? My, help us, God. We got the gospel, we got the Word of God, we got the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, and we also have our own testimony. Our own testimony. You say, what is my own testimony? Well, in 1 Peter, the Bible tells me something. I want to read it there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to answer and to reply to somebody. Oh, what does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16? It says that to let your light so shine before men, they may see. Yeah. They may see and glorify the Father that's in heaven. They may see Him, but you have to let your light shine. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you don't know much, tell people what Jesus did for you. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. You say, I am ashamed of my past. I believe we probably all are. But your past could help somebody who's in the same situation as you are. Listen, for you, friend, the past is a promise. Amen? The past is a promise. What's the promise from the past? How can I get a past for God pulled you from that? And can I tell you this morning? You may be ashamed of your past. You may not want to tell people about your past because you're worried about judging. But listen, don't worry about it. You say, you haven't had much of a past, preacher. You know why I tell you not to worry about it? Because it's under the blood just like mine is. It is completely washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's off your case. And now you can use it to uplift and draw out. The Bible says to go out in the world and compel them to come in. You say, how am I going to compel a sinner to come to the house of God? How am I going to compel a drunkard to do this? How am I going to compel a drug person or a homeless man or somebody who don't think Jesus loves them or somebody atheist? How am I going to do all this kind of stuff and compel them to come in? Tell them what you used to be, and now you're in the house of God, and they see how much Jesus changed your life. How much Jesus? Don't ever be ashamed to tell your testimony. That is what Jesus has done for you. He's pulled you out and put you in. He's pulled you out and kept you. He's pulled you out and secured you. He's put you out and seated you. He's done that for us. The least that we can do is just say, this is what I used to be, but this is who I am now. I used to drink. I used to do drugs. The best word you'll ever use is used to. Amen. The best word you'll ever use is used to. Because a used to is something that is not anymore. My. It just takes faith. It just takes believing. It just takes desiring to get somebody in the house of God. Listen, the worst ones out there are the ones that God loves the most. You say God loves somebody else more than He loves me. No, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I just had a liking other words. I liked other words, but Jesus wants those people. The ones that you feel are too far gone, you know, Jesus still loves them too. Got to get them. Not only a purpose to acknowledge, but also secondly, a passion to adopt. Passion to adopt. I'm going to try to get fast now. These verses use two words that carry the idea of passion. It uses the word tears and it uses the word weepeth. Those two words right there tell us of a burden for a job that must be done. That must be done just as a farmer here gives his attention to the field. Christians need a passion for the souls of men. They need to love Jesus, but love other people. The biggest problem with today's church and today's Christians is that they don't love hardly anybody but themselves. They don't hardly care about anybody but themselves. They'd rather to make their pockets deeper than help anybody. Amen. That's what it's all about. The reasons that we need passion for souls. We have so many reasons. We have examples. Do you know that? We have examples. Well, we have been given many examples of men in the Bible who had, with a burden, who had burdens for the lost. And it's a lesson that we can learn from. You said, preacher, who had a burden in the Bible? Well, let's start here. Jesus had a burden. How do you know Jesus had a burden? John chapter 11 verse 35, the Bible says Jesus wept. Yeah. Right? It says Jesus wept. I think it's Luke, Lord help me. Luke chapter 19 verse 41. The Bible says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Yes. That's Jesus. When he beheld the city, he wept over it. Yes. Jesus wept over some soul. John 11:35 is speaking of Lazarus, who was laying in the grave, who was dead at this time. And Jesus wept over him. Oh my. You know, we've lost the weeping. We've lost our tears. We've lost every single bit of that kind of stuff. Jesus had a burden. He had a burden. He had that passion. That he had compassion. He loved you. Who else had a burden? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1 will tell you Jeremiah had a burden. The Bible says Jeremiah cried, wept. He wept. Well, in Acts chapter 20, and verse 31, the Bible says this, and as they, I'm reading in the wrong chapter, and therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you, night and day, with tears. That's Paul. That's Paul speaking there. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Paul's praying for Israel, friend. Hey, amen. We need to get to praying for Israel too. The Bible says for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible says, for I could wish that myself were cursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What does that say? That means he said, I wish I could take their place. Paul was a prime example of one who had a burden and who traveled to share the gospel with that burden. You'll find over in the book of Philemon, in chapter 1, The only chapter in the book of Philemon, he tells Philemon to put Onesimus' account, his sins, on his account. That's a burden, friend. That's like asking, and what that is Philemon is a type of God, and Onesimus is a type of you and I. And Paul is a type of Jesus. He says, put that on my account. Jesus looks to God and said, put that on my account. Amen? Put that on my account. And I tell you is that if we would realize and have more compassion for the lost souls of this world and ask God to put things on our account, you say, I don't want to stand in front of God for that sin. Listen, if He puts it under the blood, you ain't going to have to stand in front of it. But what a love and a compassion. And the Bible says that charity is above all things. And if we would realize that this kind of stuff is something we need in this day, we need burdens for souls. Amen, we need burdens for souls in this day. We have examples here. We have experienced things. Thank God that somebody had a burden for me. Thank God somebody had a burden for you, and somebody reached heaven and touched heaven for me. Think about the prayer that had arms that reached all the way to heaven, and God got it and answered that prayer. But somebody had to touch heaven for me. Amen. We've experienced these things. We know that there's an end for men, right? Men, one day. And if we believe in hell, shouldn't we strive to keep people from there? We know about it. They might not even know about it. But if we believe in it and we know about it, shouldn't we strive to get them from that place? We live in a day in 2021 that we need to start spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this whole place. He said, we're just a small church. Listen, you don't need me to share the gospel. You don't need me to go door knock. Amen? I don't have to be there for you to go tell somebody about Jesus and invite them to the house of God. To go knock on their door and say, I just wanted to invite you to the house of God tomorrow morning. Or I just want to invite you to the house of God whenever that may be. I don't have to plan door knocking. You women could get together and go do it. You men could get together and go do it. I don't have to know a thing about it. I mean, I like it. But let me just tell you something. We just need to spread that news that Jesus saves sinners. And Jesus loves people. Well, that's some reasons that we need a passion. And just say in this hour. What are the results? Well, the results of having passion for souls. When we are truly moved by the directions of the lost, there will be tears, there'll be burdens, there'll be prayers for all of them. We'll spend our time more doing that. If we really had, I'll be honest, many may say that they have burdens. But the truth of our actions betray us. Amen. God's got me, I know it's saying a shout in service, God's giving me plenty of liberty right now. He's giving me the liberty to say some things because we're at the beginning of the year. And we need to get it out of the way for the rest of the year. Our actions are betraying us. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let me just tell you something. When you... God help me. Many are content with just being saved. Folks, we need a burden. We need God to break our hearts over lost souls out in this world. We need God to break our hearts over the condition of the lost souls that are going to hell today. God needs to break our hearts over that. Break us. Let me just tell you something. When it comes down to it, and we see that the truth of our burdens are really actually betraying us on a daily, that we say that we want to do this, but God, no, it's not happening. It's not really happening. You know, today we need help from God. We need help from the highest power there is to break our hearts over the lost soul of today's generation, you know, to cause us to be more bold and to cause us to be more unashamed of the work of Christ. We just need an old-fashioned burden is what we need. My, we need that kind of stuff. We see a purpose to acknowledge, a passion to adopt, and I'm almost done. Lastly, we see a promise to anticipate, okay? Promise to anticipate. Beloved, when we go God's way with the burden for the lost. And not just be content with our own salvation. Not just be content with their own salvation and not just being content with Sunday morning. Not Sunday school. You that are with me, at least say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Not Sunday school. You don't want to come to Sunday school, it's too early. And then you don't want to come to Sunday night because it's too late and your kids, I know we ain't really got many people in here like that, thank the Lord, but it's too late on Sunday night. And then you don't want to come on Wednesday because it's too late. Yeah, man. You ain't, what you got to do that's more important than Jesus? What you got to do? Let me tell you something, there ain't much you got to do. But the Bible says in Proverbs, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we are supposed to assemble ourselves together and understand the last part of that verse. It says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day of Jesus Christ. You are supposed to be more faithful and more at the house of God and faithful to His calling. Listen, preaching, teaching teaches you something. But preaching ends with a decision, is what it is. Preaching is supposed to end with a decision every single time. And the facts about it is Sunday school is too early and Sunday night and Wednesday night is too late in this day and this hour. Listen, may I just say this, that is not God's will. God's will is not for you to come to the house of God on Sunday morning and not open your Bible for the rest of the week. God's will is not for you to miss Sunday school. God's will is not for you to miss Sunday night or Wednesday night. God's will is for you to be faithful to Him so He can be faithful to you. That's God's will. That's God's will. God desires that of you. And can I just tell you this? Is the ones that are not faithful to Him will not be told, well done, my good and faithful servant. Listen, you saying you ain't going to be told, well done, because I don't come to Sunday school? No, not necessarily. But you will not be told well done if you just come to a Sunday morning service. Just preach it. Promise. Guaranteed. Because why? There's 75% and 25% that you're giving to God and only 75% that you're getting still. It's true. It's Bible. I could go all through the scriptures and find it. We are not. God has called us to be faithful servants of Him. And those that are faithful will be told well done. Those that are not faithful. How many crowns? I want to answer on this. You don't have to say specific number. How many could answer this and tell me how many crowns that they want to drop at Jesus' feet? How many crowns do you want to drop at Jesus' feet? My answer is all of them. I believe we could all agree that we all want to drop all the crowns that we can receive at Jesus' feet, right? You know that every time you miss the house of God, every time you're unfaithful to the house of God, every time God doesn't see you faithful with giving, with receiving, with doing anything that you can possibly do, you know you're losing a crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find it. It'll be wood, hay, and stubble. God will throw it in the fire and it'll burn up. Hey, I know it's hard preaching, but this is what God's laid on my heart this morning. And I tell you something this morning is that if we would realize that we want to be, if we really would want to be in God's will this morning, we really can be in God's will this morning. You're missing it big time if you're only doing that. You're missing it big time. You say, I don't hardly witness to anybody. I don't hardly tell nobody about Jesus any day of the week. I only come to church on Sunday morning. I might come to church on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Listen, I'm thankful for every single person that comes to the house of God. And I wish you, I'm glad you're just here. You got to know my heart. You all know my heart in this place. And I'm not mad and I don't preach it with an angry conscience or anything. But I just want you to know that that's what God desires. That's what God desires. We can rest assured that we will receive the promises that He gives to us. What are these promises? Well, we see, verse 6, He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing. So we have the promise of success. Doubtless, that word there, doubtless, it implies that there's no need to doubt what is the Lord's. I think I could be wrong, but in Matthew 9 verse 38, I think that's what verse it is. Let me see. Thank you, Lord. That is what verse it is. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. How does that tell me that it's the Lord's? Well, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. It's a big L as well. I want you to know something. The harvest out here that we're reaching today is the Lord's. It is the Lord's, but all we do is go and be obedient. If we go and be obedient, when we go and tell, then we become successful when it comes to the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God's people should be obedient to go out and tell and let God bring the increase in. Amen? It's a promise of success. We see, beareth precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. A promise of satisfaction. A promise of satisfaction, the word rejoicing, this implies a state of satisfaction. This farmer could look at his harvest satisfied and joyous. He could look back at it and say, I know this has been a hard year, but now look what I got growing. I praise the Lord for this year, and I believe I could personally look at it like that. Not because of what I've done. But I believe I could look over this church this morning. And I believe I could see you people who've been born again this year. And I could look at it and I could say, Oh my. It's been a hard year. But look at what we got. Now I know we're short on people today and we'd have a whole lot more normally. But what would it have been if we would have been unfaithful? What would it have been if I'm going to point my finger at myself. What if I would have been unfaithful to study the Word of God? What if I would have been unfaithful to be at the house of God? Listen, I can't miss church. Why is it okay for you to miss? I'm just saying. I love y'all. Y'all know. Look up here and tell me you love me. Listen, I love y'all too. And I did not preach this out of an angry conscience. I did not preach this out of wrath towards anybody or pointing fingers towards anybody. I preached it because God said to preach it. And I wanted y'all to know this morning that I love y'all. But if you want satisfaction in your life with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be faithful to Him.
Amen.
If you want satisfaction in 2020, if you want seeds to grow in 2021, if you want all that to take place, you've got to be faithful to God.
Amen.
We're just sowing seeds right now. We're just sowing seeds in the hearts of these kids. We're sowing seeds in the hearts of Sabrina, in the hearts of Amberly, in the hearts of Ansley, in the hearts of all of these other two kids, Corinne and all them. And we're just sowing seeds right now, but one day we'll see production from that seed. How do you know?
Amen.
I'm pointing all those kids right there.
Amen.
They're just sowing seeds in Jason Joslin. They're just sowing seeds in their hearts. But one day, there'll be an increase. One day, that seed will start sprouting up.
Amen. Yes.
And when it starts sprouting up, we can raise servants for Jesus Christ. Yes. We can raise somebody with Elisha. We can raise him to be somebody for the Lord. But if we ain't faithful to the call, then what's going to make, what makes you think your kids are going to be faithful if they are? If you are. Whew. God help me. I tell you, when we labor in the fields, we'll be satisfied when the harvest comes. When the harvest comes, we'll be satisfied. And I praise the Lord for the harvest that the seeds of the gospel have been sown here and that God had made a tremendous increase in 2020. But let's not look at the off season. Let's say ahead, I'm going to go ahead and begin to prepare for the next harvest. Because I know that harvest is coming because the fields are white, right? The Bible tells us in John chapter 4 that the 4 months increment there. It talks about that 4 months. But Jesus said that don't wait that 4 months between. The fields are already white to harvest. The fields are already white. We can wait for God to do something. We'll be waiting a long time. You say, what do you mean? Because we have to do something. We have to do something. And then God. Now, are you telling me God can't save nobody without you? The Bible tells you God ain't going to save nobody without you. You got to plant that seed. You got to get it in their minds because God. Now listen. The person who has never heard about Jesus, are they going to get saved? Must take us, right? The Bible says, hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then we can line up the Bible. Listen, let me just give you a little cross reference here and I'll be done. Is that alright? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 through 10. The Bible tells us that you're saved by faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? So how are you saved? What did I just say? Saved by faith. And then let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So that means you have to hear something before you never be saved, right? Because the faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God is the only way to be born again. By the drawing of the Spirit. Then we can turn them a little farther. And we can read in the Gospels where it says that unless the Spirit of God draw them, they never get to God. But all of this comes from hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. I said, any man should boast. And I tell you something this morning. We should be satisfied. Listen, God's going to bless us. God will bless us. God will bring a harvest. But don't you think it'd be good for us to just be satisfied to labor? You say, what do you mean, just satisfied to labor? And if you need to pray anytime, you can get off, stop, do whatever you got to do. What do you mean satisfied to labor? Well, we find in the book of Genesis, we'll find this man by the name of Noah. Right? And when we look at the life of Noah, we know that Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. Am I right? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He preached for 120 years and only won 9. And all of them was his sons, his daughter-in-laws, and his wife. 120 years and all he won was 9. Couldn't we just be happy for laboring? We don't have to have a harvest. God can do the harvesting. Let's plant a seed. Let's go up to these little kids and say Jesus loves them. Let's plant a seed in their lives. You can stand to your feet this morning. Let's do that. When we hear Him say, well done one day with a sinner, when a sinner misses hell because of me, because we're obedient to the will of God, when that happens, couldn't we not just be satisfied? Beloved, we'll get to spend eternity with somebody who got in because of you. Because of you. You were obedient to the gospel. You were obedient to the Bible. Maybe a gospel tract, your testimony, the gospel, etc., whatever it may be, because of you. Maybe your kid gets saved because of the way you live at home. Somebody may not go to hell because of you. You know that the Bible is perfectly explained out in a way that I don't understand how people don't understand things. The book of Daniel. I was reading this the other day. And in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says this, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many, the Bible says, to righteousness, as the stars forever and ever. What is that telling you? That lines up with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it tells me that everyone that I witness to, is another jewel that I can lay at the feet of Jesus. Bring glory to Him. Everyone that I witness to is a star shining bright. How about that? How many times, friends, how many times have you shared your full testimony since He saved you? How many times, what about to a lost person? Let me use that illustration. How many times have you got to lead somebody to Jesus? How many times you got to do that? Most of us could use a deeper burden in 2021. We should all be up here around this altar saying, God, dig into my heart and break it for the lost souls of this generation. For the lost souls in this world today. We know that we all have family members in this place that's lost. Every one of us in this place have a family member lost, whether it be a sister, brother, or brother-in-law, sister-in-law, or mom, or dad, or whatever it may be. Ask God to break your heart and get a burden over them. Because without your prayer, that's the only way he's going to get saved or she's going to get saved. That's the only way. We need a deeper burden. We need a deeper commitment to the Great Commission is what we need. If the Lord has been dealing with you about anything. Listen, I know people's done got down and got back up. But God's not done here. God is not done here. What about being a better witness? Say, God, make me bolder. Make me bolder to the faith that I can say something to even my family. I know it's harder to say something to your family. Listen, don't go at them with harm. Don't go at them with an angry heart. Go at them with love and compassion. You say, why would I ever do that? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus did it. That's actually the only way Jesus came. You know that? Challenge you this morning. Come before Him. Allow Him to do what He needs in your heart. Let's mind Him. Let's get up. Let's get out to a lost and dying world today. We're just sowing seeds.